You're listening to Voices After Dark with Gina, Shanae, and Lisa. Enjoy.
Okay, we're back.
We're back.
What's up? Actually, hand me a tree light, please.
It's like Melissa now.
Yeah. Sees my dog in the background. He's outside.
Barking away.
He's just talking to the neighbors.
He's talking.
He actually probably wants it here.
Ooh, I think you guys will like my story, though. Yeah. He's coming. He's wanting to come in. So, can we just get into it?
Yeah, we can. Your story, yeah. I guess there's not really much to talk about. I mean, there's nothing
much going on.
No, there's not a lot of craziness out
there.
I mean,
there's all kinds of shit going on.
Yeah, there is a lot going on. But anywho, we got a couple reviews back, and they said, get straight to the story.
this one's for you, Mom.
Yeah, and Melanie.
And Melanie.
So this is about a man named Paul Amadeus. Deus and Dina.
Amadeo.
And
Amadeo, Amadeo.
Yeah, listen to his story. He went into a mysterious coma and claimed to have lived another man's body, like during his coma, and in the future. And
I've always wondered, like, what are they dreaming of when they're in a coma?
Lived like 2,000 years into the future. And he was able to predict events that would happen almost a century later. Wow. In 1917, in Zurich, Switzerland, Paul was a Swiss teacher and an academic enthusiast. He was a humanitarian. He studied in humanitarian studies, cultural history, classic philology, which is the study of ancient Greek and Latin written language, which is kind of cool. Gina, it should be
cool.
With her Greek descent.
Oh, so we hear.
Yeah. Like, I don't know him.
Anywho, I don't know. When he was 31 years old, he was a history teacher, and he was pretty healthy for his age and whatever. And one day, he's a normal healthy 31 year old, but they emphasize on the healthy because one day Paul just falls asleep, and in the middle of the day doing a normal activity, he falls asleep, and his family, and he doesn't wake up. His family tries to wake him up, like, because apparently he was doing something, I'm assuming, in the middle of the day that was, you know, a normal activity. And he fell asleep.
Uh-huh.
And when his family went to try to wake him up, he didn't wake up. So they're all freaking out, and they take him to the hospital. I hear my girl. Doctors say that he went into a coma, but
just in his sleep.
Yeah. So somehow Paul slipped into a coma. Oops. Okay.
Light.
For your notes. Yes, I do need light for my notes.
Here's a candle.
And the doctors don't know why. Okay? Now, mind you, this is in 1921.
No. Holy crap, this is old.
I think, no, 1917? Sorry,
1917.
Even older!
So, you know, like, I'm sure it was hard for the doctors at that time to figure out why did he just fall into a coma.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nothing seems to be physically wrong with him, and he stayed in the coma for 15 days.
Damn.
Luckily, when he wakes up, it's snowing, and his mother is just sobbing, and she falls to the floor. She's like completely relieved, probably thinking her son wasn't ever gonna wake up. And he seemed physically fine, besides, like, some disorientation. And the doctors didn't figure out why he went into the coma. But like I said, 1917.
Yeah. But still, that is crazy how that does happen.
Right.
Yeah.
So, a few months later, Paul seems back to normal. And his family is hoping it's just one time, like, weird incident. And 4 years later, in May of 1921, it happens again.
Oh.
He slips into another coma. And this time, it lasts much longer. He ends up being on a feeding tube. His family visits him. They pray for him. They're really hoping he'll wake up again. Okay, so May of 1921, he goes into another coma. That's 4 years later. And this time, it lasts much longer. He's on a feeding tube. Like I said, his family visits and prays, hoping he will wake up. And it's been a month now. His mom actually died while he was in his coma from natural causes, I know. So then you're going to say goodbye.
Yeah, like, you know, how sad.
It's going to be hard when he finally wakes up, if he does. Mm. But, and he does. He does finally wake up a year later in May of 1922, so a whole year.
Oh, my
gosh. He's been in a coma. His muscles are weak, you know, from not moving too much. But he's fully functioning. The docs say that they still don't know why he slipped into the coma.
And yeah, this is 1922
now. And then somebody has to tell him about his mom. So he learns about his mom. Mm-hmm. But when he woke up, he was acting kind of like cagey, like maybe like unsure, scared. Yeah. And he won't say what he experienced while he was in his coma.
Uh-oh.
He's, like, really refusing to talk, and he starts in having, like, strange behavior. He becomes a hermit, and he eventually gets his affairs together in order. After his mom's passing, he clears out his mom's house. He takes care of his inheritance issues, and he sells some land. He keeps busy with labor, purposely is what they're thinking, and reads a lot of philosophy books. He is a teacher, though, so, you know, reading probably wasn't too strange for him, especially philosophy. But he was a big reader now. He started to talk to his priest more than usual, and, like, more than normal, like before. So he started to talk to his priest more. So whatever happened to him, he's like feeling some type of way. He starts talking to his priest more.
Mm-hmm.
So sometime before this, his second coma, he had told his priest he was questioning his beliefs and his faith. But now, no longer, like, does he have those feelings or those thoughts. And maybe that's why he's coming around the priest more. He makes a weird statement, though. And says, if, like, would tell his priest, like, if only you knew all the great things there are, and you cannot even imagine what's actually out there, is what he would tell his priest, right?
Mm.
It's like he knows more than his, and he's, like, you know, more than the priest, but when asked about it, he refuses to elaborate. Mm. And months after his coma, he comes down with tuberculosis, TB. And his lungs don't clear up, and by October, the docs say that, like, he needs, like, a change in climate, and that might help with his lungs and stuff. So he says, why not, and he ends up moving to Athens, Greece. Mm-hmm. He starts teaching French and German to the adult students there. He seems to really like it. He loves it there, but not all as well. Students find him strange, and that could be because of, like, the language barrier also.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than less, he's just a little odd. And one afternoon, a student finds Paul sitting across a massive ancient temple in the middle of Athens. And Paul is, like, staring intensely through the barriers at one of the large rocks. Like, there's a large rock, like, it's a little monument.
Another rock. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's staring hard at this rock. And the student, like, just, I think, trying to make small talk, he says,
he tells him, isn't that crazy, like, looking at that, like, somebody maybe 2,000 years ago was looking at that same exact rock.
I think that's different. I know. Well, yeah, with the hieroglyphs or whatever on the mountain and stuff, like,
But Paul responds, yes, that's true. But also that same rock will be here 2,000 years later. So if you stare at it long enough, it's like looking, or like you're living into the future. Like you're living in the future. The student was like kind of thrown off, like, okay. Maybe, like, yeah, it might be here 2,000 years later. Who knows, you know?
Yeah.
But he could tell that Paul's response was like serious. Like he was like, no, that's going to be here 2,000 years later. And,
like, you know, a matter of fact.
Yeah.
But
he seemed to be concentrated on something like in his own mind, like thinking about something.
Mm-hmm.
And a few moments later, he tells the student that there won't be any barriers around it anymore and that people will do away with it. And that student was like, no, oh, that's weird. Like, whatever, right? Weird. It's just a weird thing to say. Like, acting like he's...
This guy's weird. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's another person who gets close to Paul in Athens, and it's another student named George Papahazis. And he, like, he respects him, and they become close, Paul and this George.
Mm-hmm.
Though he still never expresses his experience in the coma, not even with George. So till this day, he still hasn't. And in April 1923, 6 months after moving to Athens, Paul's tuberculosis is getting worse, and he's getting close to death. Doctors say he's going to die within a year or so. And he starts cutting back on teaching, and the last year alive is kind of like a gray area. They're not really sure what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But his first or his last interaction is with his landlady. And she knocks on his door, and when he answered, he kind of answered manically, like, hello, you know? And which was weird because he's usually calm, and because he was kind of calm, like, whatever, weird kind of guy.
Yeah.
But he opened the door, like, manically, and gives her, like, a big hug, and tells her he is overjoyed. And he said he can finally write everything down. He's really excited, and he seems relieved. So, in the spring of 1924, Paul dies. And they don't know if he died in Athens or in Italy on his way back to Switzerland, like back home, because that's where he was from, Switzerland. And now he's in Athens. But anyways, his name doesn't even come back, like, in history, or they don't even talk about him for another 50 years. So, he dies, and that's just the end of Paul, like, ever talking about him. And in 1972... Paul's old friend George is now publishing a book. So George is pretty old. But anyway, George publishes a book, and it's a translation of Paul's diary and his diary entries. Remember, he's never explained what happened to him in his coma.
Yeah.
And it's the story of what happened to him in his second coma. So the one he was in for the whole year.
Yeah.
So Paul claims to be, so... In this published book, in his diary entries, Paul is claiming... Let's get to the good part. Okay. Paul was claiming to have been living in the future during his coma. Just before Paul passed away, though, he gave his friend George a set of notebooks. George, the student, right? And he says they are to help. He gave them to George, telling him, here's my diary, which is kind of weird. They're just to help you translate from German to Greek, like for practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Paul's diary. And his first entry is from 1918, a year after his first coma. Paul mentions his love for a woman named Anna. And he was madly in love with her, and since childhood, she had married another man and had died later. So, anyways, the diary mentions his love for Anna, how he'd been loved with her, you know, since childhood. But she had married another man and had died later. But they're thinking that maybe, you know, just maybe sad from, like, a love lost. And later, the diary entry, later diary entries are after his second coma. In 1922, the year he woke up and moved to Athens, he mentions something weighing heavy on him, like mentally. With, well, obviously, not a big brick. He mentioned something weighing on him. Without mentioning why his illness, his illness gets worse, and he starts thinking about his death to come. And that's when Paul decides to write down what happened to him while in his second coma. So this is the first day, right, that he experienced. So the first day of his coma, he says he wakes up in a strange room he doesn't recognize. He knows he's inside a hospital, and he says he's in a lot of pain. He says, but he can't, like, describe, like, where. He just can feel like he's in a lot of pain. And his thoughts are kind of fuzzy. His vision is hazy, but everything around him is unbelievable. He doesn't know how to explain what he sees, but when he looked outside, it was a pretty, like, countryside. Now, 12 days pass. They really don't describe, like, what happened between these 12 days, which is kind of weird. We'll go back to it. But anyways, his pain kind of goes away. He's still in the hospital, and he's able to walk around now. And when he looks in the mirror, his head is wrapped in bandages, and he's still kind of hazy. And a few days later, the nurses eventually take the bandages off. And when they take them off, he looks in the mirror again, and he's, like, completely taken back, like, stunned, like, really shocked, and it's not him. Like, what he's looking at is not himself. It's a young man, and he, like, freaks out, like, what the fuck, you know? And so it feels so real.
Yeah. He really believes he's this guy.
He's waking up. So crazy. This is, he's now, like, waking up, and he says it feels so real. Anyways, he panics so much that the hospital won't let nurses in the room, and he's only attended by two specific physicians. And he begins to try to communicate, he can't understand them. But remember, he's, like, literally a language instructor, so he should be able to, like, cipher out something. Anyways, he can't even make out, like, the dialect. He recognizes some Scandinavian words, but he's never heard this language before.
No way.
A few days pass, and eventually he calms down, and he's allowed to walk, like, around the hospital. Still has a hard time understanding, like, what... They're still having a hard time trying to understand what he's saying or how to, like, describe it, but everything looks, like, extraordinary, like, around him. He says there's this place called the drawing room, which is, like, a waiting room. And he said that's, like, large. Everything's covered, like, the tables, chairs, stools, and picture frames seem to be covered and made out of, like, crystal. They're all reflecting pastel shades, like a kaleidoscope, like something shiny, now he's thinking he must have, like, died and gone to heaven. Like, he's having he's experiencing heaven. So while he's walking around, he still hears the nurses and doctors, like, whispering, but he can't make up, like, what they're saying. And from the language barrier. But he keeps hearing a name, Andreas Northman.
Really?
Finally, I think it hits him. He's like, they're talking about me.
That's who I am.
They're calling me Andreas Northman. And he's like, that must be, like, who I'm looking at. Like, I either must be, like, have amnesia, like, of this past life that I've created, like, Paul, you know? Or I'm really this guy, or, like, you know what I mean? Or I'm really Paul in this guy's life. He can't, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
So, anyways.
That's crazy.
Andreas is the body he's in. And he learns that Andreas went to the hospital after a bad accident. And when Andreas died, the docs were able to bring his body back somehow by freezing his brain.
What the?
It's like that one movie, The Man with Two Brains.
So, yeah, that is a good movie. But on, they're thinking Andreas probably never came back to his life, and it seems like some sort of like wire had been crossed between maybe Andreas's body and Paul's like consciousness, and he doesn't tell anyone, and he's not Andreas, like,
yeah,
he's putting it together in his own mind, like, okay, this is who I am, but I'm not gonna tell anybody. So Paul is also hit with another weird surprise. He's asked what year it is. What year it was, and it's not 1921. It's 3906 CE. So they're telling them it's 3906. Yes. Almost 2,000 years in the future.
Oh my goodness. So
maybe shock, you know, of like hearing that, but whatever. But the entire time he is in this other place, the whole time he's there, he can't fall asleep. And he's, like, talking to, like, he's saying maybe it was shock, maybe that's why I couldn't fall asleep, whatever. So he's not falling asleep. And sometimes he dozes off, but it's like a daydream. And when he does doze off, he starts to think about, like, his mom and, like, how she died and his love for Anna, that his first love. But he can't fall asleep. Once the doctors notice he's not sleeping, they send in visitors. And he describes them as two elderly men in fine white clothing, maybe like priests or kings. And they are actually called electors. And they are the spiritual leaders of this futuristic society.
Louis.
Something about them is weird. And he feels like overcome with emotion, like when they enter the room. And he falls like to their knees and confesses that he's actually from 1921. And he tells them how he woke up somebody else.
I'm this person now.
So whatever, like, the vibe he's getting from them, it made him, like, break down and, like, just tell him everything about, like, what happened.
Yeah.
And it says, so he confesses to them, and he's telling them, like, he doesn't know why, like, this is happening to him. But the men seem to understand what he's saying, and they are shocked, but they tell him, and it's like, it's probably just, like, all an illusion. Like, they're just trying to reassure him, like, this can sometimes happen. Like, you know, you can have, like, some weird visions, like, after you, like, hit your head or coma or something like that, whatever. So they're telling him, like, it could just all be an illusion. But in his mind, he still believes, like, he's in the future. Like, no, you guys aren't getting it. Like, I'm really not this dude you're saying.
Yeah.
So by the first month that he's there, it seems to... So by the first month there, he begins to get excited to learn, like, about this future he's in. And the elector starts teaching him their language. He gives Paul a device that can narrate books and bring pictures to life. But remember...
Ooh, like hologram?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it sound like a TV or an iPad?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Paul is from 1921. You know what I mean? So, even, you know, the things that he described are things we have, that could be something we have, like a TV or an iPad.
Yeah.
It's bringing pictures to life. It's narrating books.
Yeah.
Right? So, he shows Paul this device to help him learn their language, I'm assuming, too, you know? And that's when Paul's like, what the hell is this, you know? So, he wants to kind of know what happened between 1921 and 3906. But when...
Yeah, because that's a lot of years.
3906, though.
When he starts bringing it up to this elector guy, the elector just wants him not to focus too much on, like, historical facts, you know? Look at the bigger picture, you know? He says, time and human creatures are only subjective impressions. And they are more... there's a more true and objective, like, reality out there, which is called the Samad. So the Samad is, what did I say? The Samad is like a more, it's like a true, like a objective reality, a different reality.
Mm-hmm. Like a different dimension. No.
So only 4 people know of John's body swap. So, you know, whatever. There's only 4 people who know about him say claiming he's this other guy. And the doctors and electors ask them to, and he tells them not to tell anybody. Like, this is all in his diary. He's telling the electors, don't tell anybody. He doesn't want to become like a science project. And the electors tell him, like, that there's this thing called the Valley of the Roses, and that the Valley of the Roses will be the final decider if Paul's secret will be shared with the world. Yeah, it's becoming really weird.
I know, huh? Okay. Weird.
Right. So he doesn't explain what the Valley of the Roses are, or even if Paul's going to, like, visit this place. So Paul gets a visitor, and it's Andreas's best friend, Stefan. And I guess when Stefan visited Andreas, he could immediately tell, like, that's not Andreas. Like, he just gets a vibe, like, he gets a feeling, and he knows it's not the same person. And he also notices that Andreas, quote unquote, his handwriting is completely different. And I guess he just felt intuitively that it's not Andreas anymore, mm-hmm. you know? But it says he seems to be okay with it. He takes Paul under his wing to show him around, like, the future. I'm talking into the candle. I was used to talking in the mic. Yeah. So anyway, Paul finds out Andreas, his body, this guy, lives in a beautiful countryside in, like, Scandinavia. And he notices that both the friend Stefan and other friends don't seem to have jobs. He says it feels like a never-ending holiday. It's still sounding like heaven to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So over the next few months, they take long walks and talk about philosophy. They go on boat rides, they sing, they attend dances. Like, it just seems like he says, like a vacay. But they mm-hmm. end up going on a vacation to Italy together, and he assures, and he assumes they are all, like, upper class heirs, especially because no one seems to be, like, working and whatever. Anyways, but they explain to him, because he's, like, kind of, I think, I'm assuming he asks them, like, what do we do? You know, like, why are we living the good life and not working? And they explain to him, it's called, oh, it's because of the 2-year service. It's called a 2-year service. And everyone graduates here at the age of 17. And then from 17 to 19 years old, they work in this sounds like some Hunger Games show. Anyways, from 17 to, no, listen, from 17 to 19, they work in the city, working at whatever job is given to them. And in that time, though, gets better. In that time, everyone makes enough money to live out the rest of their lives. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
So Stefan takes Paul to see one of these cities, and it's in the north called Northfor. And that's not a real place today. Just saying, FYI.
Google it.
Right. But he sees in this city, right? He sees flying cars, floating, like, observational towers, and lake shores lined with synthetic marble. Maybe sounds futuristic, but he did come from 1921, you know? But he also describes, like, 3D movie theaters, jumbotrons, and which we have now, you know. Yeah. But Paul wants to figure out how it got like this. He likes to know what happens in between.
Yeah, what happened to this gap?
And that's when Stefan, the friend, he ends up explaining to Paul that there was a mass nuclear war in 1600 years earlier, in 2309. He said the war destroyed most of the world's population. And universal commonwealth emerged. People took on more universal commonwealth emerged, and by that time people took on a more unified approach, leading to technologies and economic expansion. But now society valued spiritual progress more than material. And you know, this, like, now it's sounding it sounds like a wild coma dream.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah. I always wonder what they're dreaming about when they're comas,
because Paul did like philosophy. He liked stuff like that. He learned about, you know, the Greek and ancient, like, language and stuff like that. So he was kind of already into this. So if he were to have, like, a coma dream, this would be right up his alley.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
But while he's there, so he's still in his coma dream, we'll call it, Paul loves his new life after being there for a year, but now it's time for him to make his journey. It's time for him to go to the Valley of the Roses. And Paul and Stefan take some flying boat down there, like down one of the Europeans' main artificial rivers. And it was towards the Mediterranean. And Paul, like, it starts getting a weird feeling, like, not weird, but he starts getting an excited feeling, like, he could feel, like, excitement, and he sees the city in the Mediterranean that's full of beautiful gardens and rivers and rose bushes, and the temples and monuments are covered in gemstones, and the light is so pretty that it sparkles. Mm. Still sounding like a heaven dream.
Yeah.
No, he's mixed up with, like, his own thoughts. So Paul learns that this place is home to the world's spiritual elite, which are people who devoted themselves to studying things like philosophy and science. They have the evolved ability to get in touch with Samad, the greater objective reality. He spends his days and weeks studying about the great thinkers of the past. And since he can't sleep, he spends nights just staring at the beautiful lights in the city. The longer he stays there, the more something inside him changes. He starts thinking about his old love, Anna. At first, it's just like bits of memory of her, and then it becomes like a bunch of memories just like pouring through. And now it feels like it's only been days since he's seen her, not years. He asked Stefan why he would be able to feel so strongly for Anna while in another, you know, man's body in 3906. And Stefan's response is, he says, it's because of the Samad. And Paul finally realizes his love for Anna exists because it's transcendental. That's what the word. It's beyond his body, beyond his place, it's beyond time. That Anna is his Samad, his greater objective reality.
Whatever. Like a little piece.
It's Anna's love, his love for Anna is what keeps that reality. What is what probably held that so strong. I don't know. But anyways, that was his greater, whatever they call it, objective reality.
There's a movie that's about that.
After Stefan tells him that, he starts to feel drowsy and his eyes getting heavy. And after thinking about it, this, and for the first time in a year, he begins to fall asleep. He doesn't sleep for a year. Sounded like a dream.
Yeah.
Right?
So he was asleep for a year.
He was asleep for a year, and he's saying that this is what he experienced for a full year in his other reality. Yeah. So Paul finally wakes up in 1922, a year after his coma, back in Zurich, Switzerland. He can't make sense of what happened to him, but he definitely believes it happened. And knows people won't believe him, so he didn't say anything. And it's not till closer to his death, 1 year later, that he writes it all down. And George, you know, the first person to read his diaries, he hands them over to various secret societies like the Freemasons, hoping to see if it can make any sense. And the Masons actually take it seriously, and they want to keep the diaries under wraps. And allegedly, they were worried about knowledge of the future getting into the wrong hands. Mm. And when George decides to publish the story in 1972, and since George is from Greece, and the Greek Orthodox Church condemned the book, saying it's heresy, I think this was. And when the church, when the Greek dictatorship crumbled following the year 1973, the first edition goes extinct. So George kind of fucked up by just giving them the first, you know what I mean? I think he should have kept a copy or something.
Yeah.
So anyways, George, apparently, maybe I think he did, because he ended up publishing it again later in 1979. And he titled it The Valley of the Roses. So you can go find that book.
Go find that book, read it.
Then a few years later, George dies, and in interest of the and the interest of the book pretty much dies with him. And the story would be lost forever if not a Greek writer and TV producer, his name is Achilles Saragos. He finds an old copy in 2015, and he translates it from English, or to English. And it sounds like a wild story, but he translates it anyway, and it's of Paul's coma and the future, and it's like sounds like some sci-fi shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that far from real-life stories, and other people actually had occurrences of the same thing in their own coma. And in 2012, a 29-year-old man gets into a bike accident in London, and his name was Alpha Kabaja. And he spends a few weeks in the hospital under a medically induced coma. And when he wakes up, he knows who he is, he knows who his loved ones are, and he can remember the accident, but he also got a few new memories. For instance, like remembering going to see his girlfriend when she was pregnant with twins. He says that he put a picture of an ultrasound in his notebook. He remembers doing that. Mm-hmm. He says that he remembers that they picked out names, the names Nikita and Sky. And he remembers having a job interview with MI6, which is Britain's secret intelligence service.
Mm-hmm.
And he remembers owning a small private plane. But when he wakes up, his girlfriend is not pregnant or ever was, and there was no interview, no plane, and he's convinced that it actually took place. Like, he's like, no.
Maybe
he feels it so bad.
It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, he just feels it so bad. Mm. But scientists today are actually studying cases where people feel like they lived in the future, and it's called chronesthesia, or mental time travel, what they call it.
Mm.
It's when someone imagines something that happened to them in the future, but it's coded into their memory as like a present moment. Could be why they feel like they really lived it, you know?
Like deja vu.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, deja vu.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of what Paul predicted was kind of creepy close to present situations, which is why they're kind of like, could it be a coma dream, or how did he see that? Because according to Paul, the future of the 21st century would be shaped by agricultural and environmental problems and the rise of individualism and the collapse of human rights. And the threat of nuclear weapons.
Uh-oh.
And they thought it was weird about the nuclear weapons because I guess World War II hadn't even happened yet. That had been, 1942-ish, 1946, something like that. And his was 1922, so 20 years ago. So that was even before, nuclear weapons were even...
known.
Yep, or even, yeah. So that's another thing. Like, it's just, is it too accurate? How did he even think of that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or could it just be made up? Coincidence? Like you said. You know, what can the conscious mind actually do?
Yeah.
Because your 3906, you guys. That's what we got to... Well, I guess we gotta wait till then.
Shit.
3906. Oh my goodness.
We're already 21.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem too far off.
But I feel like every future story, there's always a flying car.
Yeah.
And there was a flying car in here.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what he
saw flying cars and
hovering cars.
What if we are living like the Matrix or AI or some kind of aliens created us or whatever. Yeah.
Like a digital world.
Yeah, like Matrix. And the comas are like a software shutdown. And they're like waiting for it to repair itself. And you're seeing everything in your software, your future.
I always feel like sometimes I'm like, what if you're like really not even in your body? Like you're just like in a cell up in space. Mm-hmm. And you're just living your life through your eyes, but you're really asleep.
Why would you pick
this life? I don't know, they pick it.
Who's they?
The aliens. Them.
Who's them?
I don't know.
That's so
the
weird.
The aliens have a big part of it. I hate
thinking about the who are they.
Yeah, because who are they?
Even like higher ups here, you know?
The elite. That's what I call the higher ups, is the elite.
Well, who are they? Do they even exist? Who's out there playing?
Well, they have to because they try to sell you the pyramid effect on selling these products, you know? And it's like a pyramid effect.
There's always somebody at the top.
There's always somebody at the top.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Puppets.
Yeah, so what do you guys think?
Matrix in a little cocoon somewhere. Our cotton candy cocoon.
It would be hard.
Cotton candy cocoon.
Just imagine waking up and looking in a mirror and not seeing yourself.
Be like, face off.
Face off, yeah, like you said. Uh-huh.
But no, he's literally living someone else's life.
Yeah.
And it does sound like a wild coma dream to me, you know, especially with, like, all the things surrounding, like, philosophy and there being, like, higher ups and gods and
that's what he was already into.
Yeah.
Prior is, like, philosophy and all that stuff. Yeah, that's crazy. But
could have been his mind just playing a fucking trick on him.
But minds, we don't even know what our minds are actually capable of. We only use a small percentage of it. What are our minds actually
capable of? Yeah, exactly.
If was our mind was completely open.
Yeah.
Did he go into the future?
Like psychics and people who, like, for instance, people who say, you know, we call it a mental illness of people who hear voices.
Yeah.
But are they actually?
Or
I mean,
can they really hear?
Yeah, they're probably hearing voices, but where are these voices coming from that they're saying that they're hearing? Or is it from a different dimension?
Is it
dimension?
Their own voice? Is it their dad's voice? Is it their mom's voice?
Is it fucked up wiring in their head?
Yeah, is it mental illness? Like, you know,
it is
mental illness, but I always wonder, like, what if they have unlocked a certain percentage of their brain and now they can hear, like, maybe their past lives or their future or a different dimension, or they're like, can hear their family members, like in space. You're stuck in a certain spot for 2 minutes, but in other places it's 2 hours or two years. Mm-hmm. Are they hearing those conversations from those time points or different timelines?
It was
or
like the Langoliers.
Different.
What's that movie?
So crazy. The Langoliers.
That sounds
weird. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. At the airport, they were like on an airplane and shit.
Yeah, that was literally the past eating. And
I gotta watch that again.
Yeah, you should totally watch it. Let's
go home
and watch that.
Yeah, we're all gonna have to go home and watch that tonight.
Shit, I'll probably have to buy it.
It's literally about a plane who goes through a time warp and they get stuck in the past. But the past is already being eaten up by the Langoliers.
I can kind of remember that. Is there a plane?
Yeah, they're on a plane. Yeah.
They're on a plane and they go to airports. And they go through this time portal.
Because I get that one mixed up with Critters for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, really?
Because isn't there's a part
where Critters remind me of freaking Mike
Child.
Isn't there a
part like where they go to the airport?
Yeah,
and Critters,
they go to the airport.
Or is that Langoliers?
No, Langoliers.
They kind of look like Critters. They're like little brown balls that eat up the ground.
Oh, maybe I'm mixing those two up then. Yeah.
They kind of do look like.
Yeah, because I thought it was some kind of creature coming in Langoliers.
I'm thinking, like, I gotta watch that because that's probably what I was thinking.
I just remember, like, the power cords, like, falling down.
Yeah,
because it was coming.
Because the past is getting eaten by the Langoliers. It's like a known trade. Like,
it's like eating its time.
Yeah. You had your time, we get our time. Eat it up.
Yeah.
And they have to catch up to reality. So they have to fly this thing back through the portal to get ahead of the time to catch up, or else they get stuck back there and they all die. But the fucked up thing is, the older, like, the more they're back there in the past, they are like nothing's starting to work. Like they're like they go to the airport and it's abandoned.
There's no gas. It's empty. So old. Yeah,
people are going crazy, losing their minds because they're like,
oh my god, I have to watch that again.
Y'all, it's so good.
I do remember watching that when we were little, and it's I remember watching it. And that girl who has short hair, short brown hair, she's all blind. Yes, I don't remember that movie. Oh shit, I gotta watch it. It's old. Legitimately, every time I seen power cords like that, like Langoliers. I think Langoliers. And from my mother-in-law's house, like if you walk down her house, there's one of those there. And I'm like, oh my god, this reminds me of the movie The Langoliers. Like,
just picture it coming down.
Yeah.
I do remember it vaguely. I thought it was cursed.
It's not odd that people dream of past and future, and because I'm sure
because time is like I said in the future, like are in space,
but they're
it's
just like weirded
time
out.
Holes.
They're weirded out because he explains some of the stuff that
has already happened
a century later.
So yeah, I'm sure. I mean, maybe.
You can guess kind of correctly. But I guess his guesses were too accurate, and that's where they were like, did he?
Okay.
And that's why the Freemasons, maybe that's why they were like, we're going to keep this to us. Just in case it is something good, you know?
Yeah.
If this is something good, we're going to keep it just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
That's weird.
So, I guess you could end that on a would you rather. Would you rather be able to go back in time or be able to go see the future? I think we might have had this one, didn't we?
We might have.
I would say future.
I would say...
I go future.
You'd go future?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, why... Why go in the past? I kind of would want to see the future.
Because imagine how far you'd go. Like, imagine if you went back to, like, 1818 or something. Come on.
Dinosaurs, I would only want to be like, able to, like...
You get eaten by a T-Rex.
No. Exactly. If I could look at it, like on a TV screen.
Yeah.
Oh. Wouldn't you want to see, like, where your kids are, if they had kids, or, you know?
I'd be scared. I don't know.
Be scared?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't like the future stuff. I don't like it.
Really?
I don't like to know the future.
You don't like to know the future?
No. I don't want nothing. I won't ever go to like a tarot card reader. I won't ever
really
get a. I don't think I'd ever. Yeah. I don't ever think I want a fortune teller. I'm not a. I don't want.
But would you see a psychic?
Yeah, but I don't want her to tell me anything about
your future.
My future.
No. Oh, really?
So you'd rather be able to go into the past?
Why do you think? Because
maybe I'd go to a medium. I guess I'd rather go to someone who can communicate with like past
the dead,
like the other side. The other side. Yeah. What is that? You know, like are they?
Oh, that's a good. Would you rather? Would you rather go to a psychic, or would you rather, or a medium, or would you rather go to a
fortune teller?
Fortune teller or psychic?
Fortune teller.
Fortune teller or a medium.
But you can't always believe psychics because Sylvia Brown said that
duped a.
Was that Amanda Berry girl?
Yeah.
Told her mom that she had
dead and
she was passed away and then she was found.
Yep.
And her mom actually passed away of not knowing that she ended up or before she passed away before she was found.
Fucking Sylvia.
Yeah.
Fucking Sylvia.
Yeah. Montel Jordan. Or Montel Williams.
Montel Jordan.
Montel Jordan. This is how we do it.
Montel.
She always had her on there.
She did do something in her book. She mentioned something about
I remember reading some of that.
She remembers something. Yeah,
she talked about like your dreams, like where you went in your dreams.
She says that you're 30 years old when you pass. Everyone's 30 years old or some shit.
Over there on the other side.
You can be in like multiple places at once. That there's just. Files and shelves.
She was just so matter of fact, though, when you'd watch her and listen to her.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know what you would believe.
But after
I think she just had that attitude, like, believe me or not.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it.
Whatever.
Moving on. Yeah. Next.
He pays me to be on this show.
Yeah. Yep. This is what I believe. Uh-huh. Yeah, this happens. Yep.
Uh-huh. This is the vibe I'm getting, so I'm going with it.
She's like, no, it's true.
But if you did wake up like John, or no, Paul. Like Paul woke up.
And was somebody else?
You would have to fucking adapt. I mean, would you adapt or would you... Imagine if you could...
There is a story of a guy who
adapt. You have to, like, get your shit together and be like,
What? No, there is a story of a guy who actually hurt his, he got a head injury, lost out who he was, and years later, like, went on and lived his life and stuff, and then finally...
Came back years later, his memory?
Some, no, he...
A different memory?
No, some... a man and a woman.
No.
I'm thinking
no,
of maybe no. the woman's story, but anyways... there was a missing person's picture that floating to this woman now I'm talking about, but her new daughter seen it and was like, this is my mom, and showed the mom, and then like called and asked like, what the hell, like my mom's on this missing poster, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you're actually so and so. And she's like, what? And so they started showing her old life, and she actually started to remember. And oh had a daughter
and with their previous, new life.
Yes.
And had a daughter in her past, in her before life.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's so crazy. Oh, how does that happen?
A guy too.
That's like that movie Overboard, you know. She fell off the boat and he ended up using her.
Yep, it was an Overboard.
She, yeah.
She ended up falling in love.
Mm-hmm. And then getting her memory back. That's what I'm saying.
That little girl who ended up hitting her head and falling down the stairs or something, she came back as the Egyptian girl.
And that'd be like reality. That'd be like a reality thing. Like, is this really my life? Is this really who I am?
Why do I feel like I'm somebody else?
Yeah, why do I feel like I'm somebody
else? How
do
those wires get crossed?
And imagine like seeing pictures of yourself with these people, and you're like, I don't know these people, but that's me, or I think that's me, and those are those people.
But they say when you die, it releases like that DMT, or like it's at that drug you can take. Is DMT? I don't know if it releases.
No,
but it's like it's.
I know our brain releases dopamine.
It's the feeling. It's what happens to you, like before you die. You have that flash of your life happen. You have that weird experience outside. You know.
You know that's true because a lot of people get that like burst of energy before they pass.
Yeah,
like they get that last energy to like sit up and like say, I love you, you know, they get happy and smile, and then they go.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Some people have, like, a vision, a vivid, like, experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens when you take the drug DMT. I don't know if that's what's happening, but if it's that's the drug. Yeah, you ever heard of that?
No.
That is crazy.
That's like, it's called, like, the before you die drug.
Really good, or what? Kills you,
yeah, it gives you, like, a whole, it's like... It's supposed to be, like, super euphoric and, like, you're supposed to be, like...
No, man.
Whoa, like LSD or something?
Like, it opened up... It opened,
but, like, probably, 10 times.
It is probably, like, killing your brain.
Yes.
What LSD does.
It's making your brain think you're dying, so it's giving you this, like, crazy...
And people take this because they want to feel this way? Up. Is it, like, you can buy it on the market?
Hopefully I don't get...
Oh, my goodness. Gracious, how dangerous. How crazy.
Let me look at
this. Would want
look
to
at the things
like
that they do on that, and... Yeah.
I'm all, who would want to do that?
So, DMT or N-DMT, it's a chemical substance that occurs in many plants and animals, and which is both a derivative and a structural analog of tryptamine. It is used as a psychedelic drug and prepared by various cultures for ritual purposes as an entheogen. Entheogen?
Yeah,
it's a
weird.
Yep, it's a hallucinogenic and psychedelic drug that occurs naturally in many plants and animals. But yeah, I don't remember what they said about like that's what happens when like
you die. That's definitely
insane.
Yeah, if you're like a forester or forager, you forage for food.
You're just insane in the brain, okay?
Yeah, you better watch what you're cooking or eating or trying to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it models a near-death experience. It's weird.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Hail to the nah. That's a big pass.
Big pass.
I know how scary to even. Try
who knows? Because you do dreams are crazy and they do feel really real, and. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did just read like a little thing on Facebook where this guy did this study of, he says like souls exist and how when you pass away, your soul does exit your body.
Mm-hmm.
And so he weighed the people and they somehow,
as they passed away and they weighed them after they passed away, they were actually 21 grams lighter. Really? So that's how he tried to like say, like, you actually have a soul and your soul leaves your body when they pass because they lose 21 grams. And he did this study. It was a long time ago. I should have wrote a little fact on that down. It's like I gave you guys a fact.
Jeez.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's crazy though. So yeah, maybe he was experienced like a complex alternative reality, like, which is effects of DMT, you know, because he's having a near-death experience. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I think.
Our Matrix, and we are, he had a little,
who knows though,
software shutdown that had to reboot itself, and he was seeing blah, 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 everything downloaded to his brain.
Well, his story got this far.
Yeah, and that was 1912 or 1919?
1922 is when he woke up from that second coma.
Yeah, he already had two. That's so weird. And that's so, yeah, but such 4 years an old time
earlier.
Yeah. For even medicine to really.
And he was in this one for a whole year.
Why, though?
Yeah, like, why are you going to two comas?
That's not common for somebody going
to.
But they might have known now, today, they might have figured it out. But back then, they just didn't have the resources to probably figure out.
I don't even know that's a thing, people go in multiple comas.
He would go into that. It's crazy. The whole coma thing is crazy. Probably. And I feel so horrible. I know, experience that. And
yeah, because they could come back. Like, a year later.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy.
Yeah, because if
there's people that stayed in comas for years and years. Could you imagine those?
I can never pull the plug on people like that. I would always feel like they're going to wake up. Like, no.
But by the time, like, physically and scientifically, like, they do get brain damage after, like, right, for so long, maybe.
I don't know. I think people actually wake up and have to be rehabilitated. I would just,
I'm going
to
make you live forever.
And plus, their bodies.
Look at Kill Bill. She was in a coma for 5 years. She
came back and killed Bill.
Killed Bill.
All right. Well, I hope y'all have sweet dreams tonight.
I know. Makes you think about dreams too.
Yeah, dreams.
That's a whole nother can.
Yeah, that's a whole other episode.
That's a whole nother episode.
dreams.
I know.
Gotta go.
Oh my gosh. Scared me.
All right, the kids are out.
All right, Facebook, Instagram, Facebook After
Voices
Dark.
Voices After Dark.
On Instagram, Voices After Dark Podcast, Instagram and Facebook, and Voices After Dark Podcast @gmail.com. Email us. Pay attention to your surroundings. Bye.
Peace out.